threads that are weaving through the story that God is presenting us in the last 9 months or 10 months. Amen? Some very cool things. And it's a reminder that we can't do this. You know, God has to do it. I don't have a clue how this is going to happen. We don't know what city council is going to say. There's questions about where the money's going to come from and how the renovations are going to happen. And if you start looking at all the problems that we face and all the obstacles, you just quit and you just start doing something different. But this is about trusting in God and believing in Him, that this is His vision, and that just as He has been faithful in the past, He's going to continue to be faithful. Amen? Amen. Amen. So just for a couple minutes, I'm going to ask you, because this is so important, can we just pray together? Just find someone next to you, or if you don't feel comfortable with that, just pray by yourself. Ask that God is going to open the hearts of those who are leaders in Red Deer, that they'll see the vision for this. Ask that people's lives are going to be saved, because this is long-term, Christ-centered recovery. And it's working. It's working so much better than anything we have to offer them in this city. And just ask that God would make a way, all right? Let's just pray. Just pray where you are. Thank you, Jesus. Kaya, we need you. God, oh, Jesus, you said that you came, the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. And we just want to join you in the enterprise of building your kingdom and thank you, God, for the privilege that you give us to include us. And God, we just join our prayers and we join our faith together today. We ask you, Lord, that this Tuesday is going to be just a great day, a day where Marg and Wes and Seth will have an opportunity to look some of these leaders, these council members, right in the eyes and talk about the hope that we have in Christ. What a great opportunity. What a great testimony that is. And God, we pray that you will just show us the next chapter. Show us what we need to do, how we can be faithful, and build our faith, God. Just build our faith. Trusting you that you will provide. You are God. You can do all things. There is nothing that is impossible with you. And God, we pray too that, just as Jim said, that as this vision, as this dream started to materialize, all the other churches and Christians and those who are standing in the side wings, that they started to come on board. We want to pray for that today too, God. Would you just bring that about? We pray for the unity of your church. We pray that we will stand together as one Lord, Jesus Christ, that He is our Lord, He is our King, and that He saves. Bring your church together, God. We just want to bring this before you and ask you, Lord, that we'll have a great result when we go to city council and ask for a development permit. That there will be a unanimous vote to say yes to this. And that lives will be saved. Not just that they're saved from the alcohol or from the drugs, but that they're saved because of Jesus and that they give their lives to you. And that they have an eternal life to live. That they are forgiven. Thank you, God, that you see us as whole people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let's stand up. Everyone stand up. Let's give a mighty shout to the Lord. Let's sing out His name. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We need you, God. We praise your name, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. Show the way. Show the way, God. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands. Shout and cry. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Amen. You may be seated.
Okay.
I'm hearing this in my head. Psalm 25, verse 4 and 5, which I pray over myself every day. And it says, show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. So if we pray over this project, show us, teach us, guide us, and he will. Guaranteed he will.
Amen. Sherry, you want to come up here? Sherry's going to read from the book of John. I guess you don't need this if you're carrying that little thing. Oh, yeah, you do.
I do speak quietly. Okay, so John 15, 1-8, Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vineyard keeper. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes. And he prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I in you. Just as the branch is unable to produce fruit by itself, unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me, and I in him, produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without me. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown aside like a branch and he withers. They gather them, throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. Therefore, bear fruit in keeping with repentance.
You say amen? Amen. Sherry spoke to me a couple days ago and said, you know, I just feel that God's laying this on my heart. Is it okay if I read that? And I said, absolutely, because it fits so good with what we've been talking about. And it's about bearing fruit. And last couple of weeks, a couple weeks ago, I talked about the garden and the trees in the garden, the tree of good knowledge of good and evil. I want to kind of pick that up again today. It just fits in. So thank you, Sherry, because, you know, she's talking about reading from the whole account of the vine and the branches, and that we need to bear fruit. It ties into that notion of the trees and the fruit that's hanging from the tree, and that we have the tendency to take the fruit that we're not supposed to take. We have a choice, right? God gave us this choice. Boy, I just got a sense that we got to do some, I don't know, I'm not ready to preach yet, so... Can we just say a few things that we're thankful for? I just feel like we got to, maybe it's for me, but just break through, let's break through this. Just quick things. Let's just give thanks to God. You can start, Jeff. Thanks. Oh, I'm on. I think I'm on. Oh, you can come around. I'm sorry. I thought when you waved that thing that you had something to say. What are we thankful for? I believe that we break through when we do this. So what are you thankful for? What do you say to Jesus today? Just say it out loud.
Food.
Food. Okay. Shelter. Community. Linda. Yeah. Amen. Thank you for so many new people. Marlies.
Salvation.
I got to just stop. The other day, my wife, we were worshiping, and she was in the kitchen, and she was listening to someone preach, and she said, amen, amen, amen. And I said, whoa, I thought Marlies was here. Amen, amen, amen. Salvation. See, we're breaking through this. Like, this is good. Next person. Thankful for Sunday? Praise God. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. The gifts and calling of God are irrevocable, and they're without repentance. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Cliff. Amen. Levi Paul Redcalf. Thank you, God. Amen. Keisha. Say it again. Thank you for God. Yeah. Where would we be without God? Rob,
for sobriety,
amen.
Health.
For good health, we say thank you, God. Amen. Man, he just rides on the praises of his people, right? This is, we're starting to get warmed up here. Yeah, Gord. Yeah, amen. We have a relationship with him. He's like a friend. We know him. That's good. That's good. Yes.
Thankful for my adult children. They're well-balanced.
Amen. Lenny.
I'm thankful for mercy and grace.
Thank you, God. Who can agree with that? For God's mercy and for God's grace, we say, thank you, Jesus. You died for me. A few more. Yeah. For open arms. Yeah.
That he doesn't see us where we're at. He sees us as his whole and being redeemed.
Amen. That's good. Okay, Don, and then Chad, and that'll be it for now.
I just want to thank him for listening to me every day, and he answers me every day.
Amen. Go ahead, Chad. Yeah. Amen. You say, thank you, God? That's really good. Okay, just before I read the word, I want to be able to pray for Levi. So you guys want to just come up here a minute so we can pray for him? Little Levi was born, what is he? He's about 2 weeks old now, right? Come on up here. 25 days, so that's more than that. But we are glad for a new life. We say to God together today, thank you, God, for little babies. Thank you for children and for grandchildren. Thank you that you set them apart as holy and that you include them in the family of God. And we want to pray for this young couple. I think that, like every young couple, you are way over your head. But that's okay. You know what? We've all been there before. So just want to pray a blessing over you and ask, maybe Crystal, you would come up here too, and we can just do that together. Maybe Kathy and Elvin, if you're both here, why don't you come and join us too? Come on up. Do I get to hold them? I do.
God, you're so good. You give life. You give beautiful life, God. Thank you, God, for this life. I thank you for Tristan. I thank you for Brooke. God, they need you. They just need you in raising this child, Lord. This is your baby. This is your baby that you've gifted to them so that they can take care of them and show them your way. I just pray that you will continue to bless them and give them energy. Lord, help them to be good parents, God, to even just hear your words, that you will give them wisdom, God, that you will continue, that they will just continue to love this baby. Thank you, Jesus.
And Lord, I ask too that you would just prepare their hearts to hear from you, Lord God, and your guiding in the parenting of this little one.
Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. Father God, we just pray for this little man. Lord God, hallelujah. Lord God, Levi. Lord God, Levi. Lord God, what a powerful name, Lord God. So, Father God, you know what it stands for. You know what it means. So, Lord God, he's a priest of the Most High God. So we just pray that this little man, Lord God, when he comes into maturity, even at a very young age, Lord God, he'll know you, Lord God. He'll know you, Lord God, and live for you, Lord God. Hallelujah. We just speak that over him, Lord God, and that his steps will be righteous according to you, Lord God. So Holy Spirit, just brood over him, protect him, keep him from pestilence, sickness, diseases, all the days of his life, Lord God. Let him fulfill the calling upon him, Lord God, as a priest to the Most High God. We just speak that before him right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
May the Lord bless Levi. May the Lord give him his grace, his mercy, his peace. May the face of God shine upon you, Levi. May the countenance of the Lord be upon you. And may God give you peace in Jesus' name. Amen. Just made it. That's a special, special time, a special little boy. Let's read together now from Genesis chapter 2. I'm just going to read a few parts of this and then Genesis chapter 3, which you probably won't have on the overhead because I wasn't going to do that, but I've kind of changed a couple things here. So this is just a story about the Lord who's the gardener. He's a gardener. He plants a garden. He plants a bunch of trees in the garden. He loves gardening. He loves to see life grow. And that's true for little babies. It's true for all of life. Every bit of life clings to God. Only God can give life. Only God. And we read in Genesis chapter 2 this, that verse 8. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east of Eden, and there he put the man that he had formed, and the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. And in the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So in the middle of the garden, there's these two trees. The one is a tree of life. The other is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then we read a little later on in verse 15 that the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to care for it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die." What does God say? You eat from this tree, you will surely die. There's not like a whole lot of options here. There's only one option. It's not you might die. No, you will die if you eat. This is a choice. I talked a bit about that last time I preached, 2 weeks ago, that God gives us choices. He doesn't force things on us. He says, "I want you to love me because you want to love me. I want you to be my sons and daughters. I created you to be like that so that you will willingly love me. But I'm going to tell you what the best thing is for you to do, and then you need to decide whether you're going to do it or not. It's your choice." And really, God still works the same way today, doesn't he? He still says to us, he says, "You're going to choose this or you're going to choose that." And if you're like me, sometimes you've made the bad choice. Sometimes we've made wrong choices. Sometimes we've gone our own way instead of the way that God wants us to go. But it is still about choices. And then in chapter 3, let's just read about the outcome of what happens here. "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals that the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Did God really say that you must not eat from any of the trees in the garden?'" You see how crafty he is? "And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die.'" "You will not surely die," Satan says. Just exactly contradictory to what God had said. "You will not die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and she ate it. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. And then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves." I wonder a little bit when Eve and when Adam, when they took from that tree, I wonder if they did this a little bit. They didn't quite grab it the first time. If they thought a little bit about what God had said, if they hesitated. I wonder if she hesitated before she actually grabbed it and then took a bite of it, or whether she just believed the enemy. I guess we don't know. But I wonder how that actually unfolded. I wonder how that story that we read, I wonder what about the details of that. The one thing we know for sure is that God always tells the truth. And when God says you will surely die, it's exactly what happened. And that death has been a curse that all mankind has had to deal with since that moment. And that we're all a part of it, and we're all culpable because we're all sinful. And we've all, one way or another, we've all taken a hold of that tree, of that fruit. You know what? I think I mentioned that last time, that the fruit is about knowledge. I want to sort of spend a little time with that today, that the fruit of the tree is really, it's not about good and evil, it's the knowledge of good and evil. It's knowing what's good and knowing what's not good. And on the surface, that seems like a pretty good thing to eat from. You mean if I eat from this, I get to know more stuff, I get more wisdom, I get more knowledge, I get more understanding. That seems like a pretty desirable thing to do. How can God be against that? But what we don't understand is that That knowledge is really, the knowledge that God is talking about here is really knowledge that only God can handle. That it's knowledge that we think, once we've gained that knowledge, we think we can control it, we can contain it, but we can't. Because once we are privy to that knowledge, the knowledge not just of good, remember, but the knowledge of evil, once we have that knowledge in us, we think we can contain it, or we can control it, but we can't. Because we're not God. And ultimately, it ends up controlling us. It's about knowledge. Not every two-year-old, in fact, let me change how I'm going to say that. There are no two-year-olds that need to know everything. If you've got a two-year-old, it would be imprudent of you to sit down with him and tell him about the danger of dirty bombs and terrorism and all the things that are threatening our world today. You sit down with him after work and you say, son, I just want you to know about how dangerous the world is today. Like, why would you do that? That knowledge he doesn't need to have when he's 2 years old, right? If you have a two-year-old, you don't teach him how to operate your table saw. And you don't tell him where you keep your keys to the gun cabinet. Because those are things that a two-year-old doesn't need to know, right? And it's sort of the same thing, that when we eat of the knowledge, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we suddenly gain a knowledge that we ought not to have. We gain a knowledge that has power and has potential and has the ability to corrupt. And that's what happened. Because it's the knowledge of good and evil. It's mercy and hatred. It's integrity and dishonesty. You get the whole package. When you eat of that fruit, you get the good and the bad, and we can't handle the bad. That's what I'm saying. We can't handle the bad. We were never designed to know all the evil. And what it does is it corrupts us, and it changes us, and it affects our motives. It affects how we deal with things. We learn how to lie, for example, or we learn what lying is, and we think, well, I don't need to lie. But inevitably we do, and we think that we can get away with it, and for a while we do. Because that's that knowledge of evil. That's that knowledge of evil. So this morning we're talking about the things that we know that we wish we didn't know. We shouldn't know all the stuff we know. We shouldn't know it. The things that we know, because it's really that lack of innocence. That's what happened, that moment. And both, by the way, Eve is not more guilty or more responsible than Adam. They're both equally responsible. But what happened in that moment when they took from that fruit and they ate it together, what happened in that moment is they lost innocence. They lost that good naivety that we all should have that we don't have anymore. They lost it. Really what they did when they reached for the fruit is they let go of the hand of God. You follow me? The little 2-year-old let go of dad's hand and just said, no, I'm going to go my own way. And that's the problem with knowledge. The problem with knowledge is that it becomes God itself. It becomes something we worship itself. Let me grab a drink here. The problem with knowledge, and again, let me just back up and say this, that I'm not against knowledge. The Word of God is not against knowledge. We should be willing to grow and to learn. There's things we need to know. We should be eager to read the Word and to grow in the Word. But we do need to understand that knowledge itself can become a God in our lives, and it is in our world. And that the more people seem to know about God, and this is just a generality, it's not true for everybody, but for some people, the more of an expert they are in the area that they've studied, the less they believe in God, or the more they think they can explain God, you know, and they understand God, and they can question God because of the knowledge that they've received. And that's where knowledge can be dangerous, because it's got, here's what you need to know today, the knowledge of man. And I don't care if you got your PhD in biology or in chemistry or in astrophysics, but the knowledge of man does not compare to the revelation of God. Amen. You believe that? The knowledge of man is important, and I've said this before, said it a few weeks ago. There's lots of things we can learn, we need to learn, and most of these things point us to God. But the knowledge of God does not compare to the revelation, the knowledge about God. does not compare to the revelation of God and that God gives us through his Holy Spirit. Amen? Yeah. And that's important because, I mean, it's important for me because I'll be honest with you, I'm just learning this one. I grew up in a very knowledge-based family and church. The church I grew up in sent me away to a seminary that was all about knowledge. It was one of the most difficult seminaries in all the United States. And it was all about how much I could learn. And the 4 years of Hebrew and the 6 years of Greek I had to take and a year of Latin for who knows why. No one ever knew why I had to take that. But it was all about knowledge, philosophy and sociology and history, course upon course upon course, with the understanding that if someone can go through all of this, they're going to be a great pastor. And it's not true at all. It's not. It's just knowledge. And yeah, it has value, but it's got nothing compared to the revelation that God can give you when he empowers you and when he fills you with his Holy Spirit. And that's good news. Amen. Yeah. And I really believe this, and I'm not going to be able to do a lot about this today, but God's been saying to me, and this is scary, because again, this is not my background, but God's saying, you need to see the power of God more than to know the books and the knowledge about God. And I'm about to show you more and more of my power. Now, I don't know how that's going to work in the weeks to come, but I believe he wants to see us healed. I believe that he wants to show us the full measure of the power of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And this is sometimes troubled and frightening water from someone who comes from where I come from, where the only thing we ever really learned about the Holy Spirit is that he's part of the Trinity. But nothing else than that. Man, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit lives in us and that we have power and that we have revelation and that the Holy Spirit can direct us and that there's healing that can happen. So I'm excited about where the Holy Spirit is going to lead us. And I'm afraid. But that's okay. We're going to do this together. And I don't know where we're going, but I believe that God's going to show us. All right? But for today, see, I'm nervous. I need more water than normal. I got good reason to be nervous. You just wait. You'll find out. For today, this is about knowing things that we wish we didn't know. And I believe that all of us, if we start to look at our lives, or we think about what's in our memory, or what's in our heart, we all kind of can nod our head to this and go, you know, I wish I didn't know that. I wish I had not have experienced that thing in my life that I now is still stuck up here. There's an old rock and roll song by Bob Seger. And there's one line in that song that says, I wish I didn't know now what I didn't know then. It's one of the best lines in any rock and roll song. Because it's true. I wish I didn't know now what I didn't know then. I didn't know it then. He's really saying, I wish I was still innocent. I wish I could still go back to that and I didn't know those sorts of things that I know now. Because right now, I know stuff I wish I didn't know. I talk to people who have had a problem with gambling. And they would say to me, you know, I wish I didn't know the sound of that thing when I put the money in. And I don't really know what the sound is, but there are people who have said to me, I wish I didn't know that. I wish I didn't remember that sound. That sound hasn't helped me ever, right? Here's another example, and I've heard this from more than a few people who have done crack cocaine. Maybe there's a few of you here who could verify this. I've heard people say, you know what? I've done crack for 20 or 30 years of my life. And every single time that I do it, I cannot duplicate the first time. That first high, that first time I did crack was so amazing. It was such ecstasy. And I've been chasing that same high year after year, time after time after time. And I've never been able to catch that high again. And they would say, I wish I didn't know. I wish I didn't know now what I didn't know then. You understand? I'll give you one more. I'm going to give you another one later. I'll give you two more, I guess that's what that means, if you who are math majors. The person who bought that pickup truck because you were told, you know what, we can give you $40,000 of credit. And they bought the pickup truck, and they drove it around for 15 years, and it ended up costing them $85,000. That person would say, you know what, I wish I didn't know that I qualified for that kind of debt. Because that kind of debt didn't do me any good, right? And the old pickup truck, I still owe a lot of money on it 15 years later, and it's hardly making it anymore, right? I wish I didn't know now what I didn't know then. What I'm saying is, I believe God is saying, is not all knowledge is good. There's knowledge that's bad. There's knowledge that originates in evil, and it doesn't do us any good. And as children of God, we don't need to know some of the things that we know, but we do because we've eaten from the tree. And we've let go of God's hand. We've let go of Abba, his hand. And we've decided we're going to do our own thing. We've decided it's okay for me to question you. You know, and so we question God. And we've decided that our knowledge, what we know, I know so much as a two-year-old, you know, I'm so smart, Daddy. We've decided that our knowledge is way greater than the knowledge of God. And we are so much worse because of it. Now, let me give you the last example. I need a drink before I do this one. I looked this up today, or actually yesterday on the website. So I Googled it, so it has to be true. It has to do with pornography. And here's what it says. 97% of men have viewed pornography sometime in our lives. 97% of us. The other 3% answered the survey by saying that sometimes they are dishonest with surveys. 80% of men, thankfully, by the way, let me stop you. Thankfully, this is just true of men out there. It's not true of Christian men. No, that's not the case. In fact, the reality is there really isn't a whole lot of difference. This is disappointing. There isn't a whole lot of difference between Christian men and men who are not Christian when it comes to porn. And it's not just limited to men. About one-third of porn is watched by women. 80% of men don't have a filter on their computers or their phones. 79% don't if they're Christians. So it's 1% better. 78% of men in North America view porn before they hit the age of 16. 77%, this is mostly about men, 77% of those who are aged between 18 and 30 view porn at least monthly. And there's a lot more. I mean, I could spend all day talking about that. I don't need to, because you know that what that says is true. You know, we struggle with it. We have struggled with it in the past. We've watched it. We've reveled in it. We've enjoyed it. And we've tried to believe that it doesn't affect us. And that's been a big lie. And there's many of us here today who would say, man, I wish I didn't know now what I did not know then. And I don't even know if we can measure the kind of damage that it's done to our marriages and what it's done to the churches and what it's done to just us as men. And honestly, you know, when God puts a tree in the middle of the garden, it isn't to be mean, and it isn't so that he shows us what a powerful God he is, or it isn't even to test us, but it's to say to us, you know, I just want what's best for you. And all the reasons why you might argue that pornography is a bad thing, about how it treats women, how it degrades women, all the other things that go with it, we really need to just sort of whittle this down to God saying, you know, you shouldn't do this because it's just not good for you. I love you. It's all those other things are sort of superfluous. This is more about my love for you and my relationship with you. And if you do this, we won't be as close. And that's really what God's saying. And most of us, and you can disagree with me, just don't do it right here, do it later. But most of us, our view of sex and our view of what happens in the bedroom and our understanding of what should happen under the covers, We get that information from the porn or from the movies that we've watched Hollywood make. We've had these images in our head and we think, well, that's what the goal is. And we've been so far off because most of the goal of what we've seen, most of the stuff that we've allowed into our heart and into our mind and into our soul is unattainable. It's unrealistic. But we don't even buy that. Yeah, you can clap for that. Thank you. I need a few minutes, right? Let me ask you this. We've watched movies. We've all been there. We watch movies and there's a love scene that's going on. What does Hollywood do best? Hollywood sells movies. They're all about selling movies. Hollywood is not famous for telling the truth. What we're seeing and what we're buying when we're watching this stuff and going, well, that must be how it should be. Wow. What we're buying is what Hollywood is selling, and it isn't the truth. It isn't even close to the truth. It's kind of like someone getting a high jump pit and putting the bar at 15 feet and saying, okay, jump that. And we all spend the rest of our lives going, man, I want to jump that. I just don't know how I can do it. I know that's what I should be doing. I should be able to jump 15 feet. And it's just a big lie. And someone needs to stand up somewhere along the line and say this. This is a lie. This is not what happens. This is not what happens under the covers. All right? Some of you aren't looking me in the eye when I speak. They're doing this. It's kind of like, you know, it's crazy that we believe this stuff, but because this is what's been injected in, because we've received this, because we spent lots of time in front of the internet watching some of this stuff, we've believed it, we've thought this is the standard, and it doesn't make any sense. You know why? Because when Superman runs across town and he can go 100 miles an hour, none of us goes, man, I need to run 100 miles an hour. We all know that's just selling the movie. They're just selling the movie. And that's what's going on with porn. Porn, what do porn sites do? By the way, there's 20% of the internet overall, 20% are porn sites. Yeah. So, later on, Doug will have a class with people. The point is that we get our information from like a porn site, and all they're doing is they're just trying to make more and more money, right? They're just trying to make more money. And now I'm going to give you a picture. And I'm hesitating to do this, and I've been kind of all week long thinking, do I give this picture or not? But this is how God works in my life, through pictures, through visions and dreams sometimes. And so you might go, I didn't like that. I'm sorry if that's the case. And I'm careful about this because it wasn't that long ago, me and Crystal were at someone's house and they wanted to bring out an album of a bunch of pictures. They brought up 5 albums and we sat there all night going, okay, there's another theater, there's another museum, wow, great. So I don't want to give you too many pictures. But here's the picture. I had this vision, this picture of watching one of these scenes that I've just described and what's going on under the covers. And you know exactly what I'm talking about, so I don't need to get too detailed. Let's leave the lights on, okay, especially for this talk. Thank you. There'll be no, there's nothing on the video here. So anyways, here's what happened in the picture that I had is I heard this activity happening under the covers, and I walked up to it, and you know all the noises, there's all these noises, and I don't want to describe them, but I lifted the cover back, and there were 2 people under the cover, and they were eating a dead barbecue chicken. That's where the noises were coming from. Just be careful. Hang on. The point is that what we think is happening, you know, they were so hungry. They were ferocious. They were starving and making all these crazy noises, and it's not realistic. It isn't really what God intended for us. I probably shouldn't have told this. But anyways, it still fits in with what I'm trying to say. And that is that for many of us, you know, what we think is happening under the covers isn't isn't what's really happening at all. And we've put thoughts in our minds and our hearts and in our wives' minds and hearts sometimes that all that leaves us with is that we feel inadequate. We feel we don't measure up. We feel disappointed. We feel like we don't get what everyone else is getting. And it just isn't true. It is not true. And it is part of what we're talking about today when we talk about, I wish I didn't know now what I didn't know then. And the thinking that this is harmless, that this isn't affecting me, that I don't take all those images and those pictures with me throughout the rest of my life is foolishness. Now, let me say something else. Some of you are going, oh boy. You know what? Sex, that God gave sex for it to be wonderful. Sex is amazing. What happens under the covers, the way it's intended to be, the way God wants it to be, you know, we should just put a stamp on this and say, this is awesome. This is a great thing. This is what God intended is what we should be seeking after, okay? So I want to make sure no one leaves here thinking, well, Pastor stands against sex. I'm not. I love sex. I think God wanted me to love sex. I think we should be in awe of it. We should explore it. We should enjoy it. We should celebrate it. It should bring unity between a husband and wife because that's the way God intended it. God intended for this to happen within the context of a marriage, the context of covenant marriage. And when it does, God says, it's good. This is good. Amen? This is good. So make sure you understand what I'm saying here, that, yeah, you know what? We need to work at it. We need to be good partners. We need to develop in these areas in our lives. But it is not dirty. It's what God intended to be when it's in the right context. Okay, are we kind of still all with me here? What's the punchline? That was the punchline. The punchline is that God intended it to be good. Did you not hear that part? Okay. That, as a matter of fact, it's by God's design that this is how we become one. This is how we grow together. This is how we support each other and we meet each other's needs because he's such a great God. He's designed it this way and he's designed it to be good. That's true. So back to where we were, back to talking about knowledge. And really all of this is about that we know things that we should not know. And likely there's a lot of us here today, we go, you know, I can think of a number of things like that in my life. I wish I could forget. My bedroom, you know, is a sacred place. And we need to learn to make it a sacred place. And sometimes some of us have failed in that. But we know that God is good and that he's merciful and that he forgives. Amen? That's a good thing. He's such a good God. But today, I just want to try to lead you a little bit in coming to God and asking him to just to clear our hearts. Because I believe that, you know, for us to move on and to experience the power of God and the healing and to see more people coming to Jesus, we need to be clean ourselves. We need to find that purity again. And some of us have some soul ties to things that have happened in our past, to people that have happened in our past. We still have some of those memories, and we still have some of those fantasies and things that we can't seem to get rid of, and it's affecting. It affects our relationships. It affects our marriages sometimes. I believe that today we can come to God and ask him just to purify my heart today. God, would you just bring clarity? Would you bring purity? Would you help me to put all of those mistakes that I made, just put them behind me? I hope I'm not the only one. Maybe there's a few here that are saying, you know, that's me, right? There are soul ties. And it's not even just who you might have slept with 20 years ago. It can be your imagination. It can be the pornography you've watched. It can be so many other things that you are connected to. And what really ends up happening is your bedroom gets cluttered. And so we want to unclutter the bedroom. Is that okay? We want to unclutter the bedroom. We want to come to God and confess that it's time, God, that you remove this from us and that you sever the soul ties that I have made in the past. I know that some of you know, maybe some of you don't know. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You want to stop remembering. And I don't know if we can ever stop remembering everything, but I know one thing will happen. Our conscience will be clean. We will be clean, we will be forgiven, and we can start again, because that's who God is. That's who God is. I want to read from Corinthians, and then I'm going to lead you in a prayer. It says in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And just listen to what Paul says about the power of God compared to the wisdom of man. He says this, "When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." I'm just going to stop there. I think that is really pivotal, really important, that we can just say together today, you know, all the knowledge, all the things I've learned, all the things I know, none of that compares to knowing Christ Jesus and him crucified. That's what we want, just Christ. I know Jesus, and I know him crucified. And then he says this, "I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power." Did you hear that? He says, I'm not coming to you with a lot of knowledge, a lot of wisdom. I'm not coming to you with a lot of what man would teach. I'm coming with the wisdom of God and with the power that comes from the Spirit, so that your faith might not rest on man's wisdom, but that your faith might come from the power of God. You say amen to that? All right. So this morning, we're just going to conclude here, and I'm sorry. I know this is probably more awkward for you than for me, but it was awkward for me too. And I didn't want to preach this, but I believe it's important, and I believe we need to work towards this purity, and we need to ask God to remove what we know. Remove some of that, Lord, remove all of it, so that we can stand in that right relationship with our wives and our husbands, and we can stand in that right relationship with you, God. So just bow your heads a moment. I want you just to listen to God. What is God saying? What is God saying to you? What in your past do you need to forget? Do you need to put behind you? What in your conscience needs to be made clean? Just ask God. That's good news, Rob, and he does. And there's many of us, we need to hear that today. You know, we can't change our past, but God can cover it. And when he covers it, he says, "It is no more. It's gone. I've forgiven you." And you can have a new start. You don't need to walk around and carry this weight. You don't need to carry this memory anymore, because I died so that you could be set free. And there isn't any one of us, there isn't any one of us who doesn't need the saving grace of Jesus Christ. There isn't any one of us who doesn't walk with a limp, who doesn't struggle with something. And I thank God today that he offers us a tree of life. He says, why don't you pick from this now? Why don't you choose the tree of life? You've chosen the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and look what that's done for you. But now I offer you the tree of life. Eat of it. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So just taste of me and see that I am good. I know that, you know, this might seem embarrassing. I'm going to ask you to stand up in a couple minutes. If there's a particular soul tie or relationship or memory that you just want to be free from today, something that just keeps haunting you, I think God wants to set you free. He does not want you to remain chained to whatever that event was. Because he loves you. Do you understand that? He says, I love you so much that I don't see the sin, I just see the righteousness of the blood that I poured out for you. But there's still a choice, right? So you can choose to just keep living the way you're living. You can choose to keep watching what you're watching. You can choose to continue to have that idea that is so false. And you can think that's the truth if you want. But that's not God's way. Because what God says is, it's just not good for you. It's not my best for you. And it interferes with my relationship with you. So I want to lead you through a prayer. If you're brave enough to stand up, you don't need to do anything more than that. I want to lead you through a prayer that God would sever those soul ties. I'm just going to ask anyone who wants to stand up now. Yeah. Not going to be afraid. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. I'm just going to read this, and I'm going to ask you to own it yourself. And just pray it quietly. And we come to God right now for cleansing. We come just asking him to make us pure. To cut off whatever the enemy has planted in us. And that includes our expectations, our disappointments. In whatever way that we have tied ourselves to another. Is there anyone else who wants to stand up? Now's your chance. All right. Pray with me. Father God, just pray quietly. Thank you for saving me from destruction. And I praise you for sending Jesus to die for my sins. Specifically, God, I confess that I've sinned in the following ways. I mean, just tell him. Take a minute, just tell him. God, I repent of this. I'm so sorry for that. I confess this, God. I repent of my sin and I renounce them now. Just say that in your heart. And please forgive me and cleanse my conscience with the blood of Jesus. And Jesus, please cut the unhealthy soul ties between me and that person or those people. Please restore me to wholeness in spirit, soul, and body, and reintegrate any part of me that was involved in those soul ties. Today I ask for the salvation and the restoration of those people that I was involved with, and I commit them to your care. I rebuke any evil spirits that may have gained a foothold in me and from that sin. Say that again. I rebuke any evil spirits that may have gained a foothold in me because of that sin. And I command that you leave me right now in the name of Jesus Christ, because I belong to Jesus. Say it out loud, everyone. I belong to Jesus. I belong to Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for setting me free to live as the new person in Christ that you made me to be. I praise you now and forever. Amen. Amen. You say amen to that? You know what? Why don't we all stand? We're going to sing a song as we conclude today, but I just want to say the last word here, that it doesn't matter what people say about you. It doesn't matter about what your reputation was. There's some people here who were prostitutes. You walked the streets before. There's others of us who have lived horrible lives, and we regret a whole lot of what we've done in the past. But because of a prayer like that and because of the power of Jesus, it really doesn't matter. because I've been set free. And he who the Son has set free is free indeed. Amen? It takes faith to believe that. It takes faith to believe that. Do you have a song you're going to sing? May the King of My Heart. Let's do that one. Can you find that one for us? Because he's good. He is good, the song says, right? You belong to Jesus. We just declared that. And good fruit, you know, from John 15, good fruit is going to pour out of your life. We've dealt with something difficult today. I hated doing this. I don't like this stuff. But it needs to be done. I need to do it in my life. I'm standing like the rest of you. He's good. Oh, oh. You are good. Good. Oh, you are.